Well, my sister-in-law sent my wife, Avery, a meme recently saying, my favorite part of teenage driving lessons is almost dying and then being told to chill. You see, it's real for us. We're currently enjoying our fourth driver with a learner's permit. Truthfully, they've all done very well, if they can handle the frequent gasping from the instructor in the passenger seat. We live, as many of you all know, near many back roads, and they're often windy and can be very challenging even for seasoned drivers. And one of our boys was driving on such a road that was narrow with lots of curves and with no road markings or lines. And when he hit an area with lines on the road, he said, finally, finally. It was as if there was an instant relief. I think I shared a number of years ago that Avery experienced the same thing on a long distance trip where there was some very unfamiliar areas that was under construction and there were no lines on the pavement, and the whole time Avery was tensed up and felt immediate stress, and that all dissipated as she reached the area where the lines were back on the road. There's freedom. There's freedom in limits. There is peace in guidance. We fool ourselves when we think that freedom left to ourselves will bring peace. True peace is found in the loving guidance and the protection of our Heavenly Father. And Jesus, just as the lines on the road gave direction and provided safety, living within the boundaries that God has set for our lives brings peace and true freedom. And so as we turn to John chapter 14, we're in that section in Scripture that's often referred to as the farewell discourse. Jesus is teaching his disciples and he's preparing them for his departure. And I'm always struck by the fact that Jesus knows what he's about to endure, yet his last moments are spent comforting his disciples. So as we turn to this passage, let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you so much, Lord, for your word that is truth, Lord, that is meant to be known. It's meant to be shared. It's given in love. It's given for our good, telling us what we're to believe and how we're to live, and fills us with power in order to live out your will and purposes and plans for us. Plans to prosper us, to give us hope and a future, to remind us of who and whose we are. And so I pray through your Holy Spirit that your word would speak powerfully to our hearts and our minds and our souls here this morning. Or if we ask that in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus says, beginning in verse 15, if you love me, you will obey me, and you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. And because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. You heard me say that I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father, and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. This is the word of the Lord. Well, you're going to want to keep your Bibles open, and I'm going to be referring to this passage verse by verse. As we kick things off in verse 15, we see that this is basic spiritual logic about a relationship with Jesus. It's basic relationship 101 dynamics, if you will, with someone in God-given authority over us. How do we show love to those in authority? We all have at least one person in our life who is in authority over us, and that's God. For those in authority over us, we show love for them by doing what they tell us or want us to do. And we hope or trust that they have our best in mind when they ask us to do something, and that they desire for us to flourish. Growing up, I showed my love to my parents by obeying them. I trusted them. If they asked me to do something, then I knew it was probably for my good and that I should do it. Keyword, should. But I didn't want to disappoint them, so hopefully it was a joy. And I came to know the house rules and that they needed to be obeyed. It was smart. It was wise. It was good. And I loved my parents, and I knew that they wanted to protect me and provide for me. And therefore, I found true freedom within those boundaries that they had set for me. Now, they were flawed, not perfect, but I think pretty close, grace credited. How much more is God, who is perfect and loves us? And so if we love Jesus, who we say is our Lord and Savior, then we will obey what he taught and teaches us. Remember, we have both God-breathed scripture available to us, as well as the living Christ speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. We are doubly armed and doubly blessed. Add on top of that the church to speak into our lives, brothers and sisters in Christ who know God's word and love us, who we're in community with, and now we're triply armed and triply blessed. Obedience should be our greatest desire, because we say that Jesus is Lord, and we want to follow him. Do we always do it? No. Why not? Well, let's talk about the other relationships we have. Growing up, did I love my parents? Absolutely. Did I always obey what they taught me? Absolutely not. Now, deep down, did I want to? Yes. But why didn't I? Because I'm fleshy, and there's a battle for my heart. And Paul talks about that battle that rages within each one of us in Romans chapter 7 every day. I know I need help, but then again, so do all of us. That's why I turned to Jesus in the first place and embraced the gospel, the good news for a sinner like me. Well, how about you? There's hope for me, and there's hope for you, and we'll get there in a minute. But for now, let's hang on to this key teaching from Jesus, that we show or prove our love for him by saying no to sin and yes to him. And we best love him when we love others. Jesus says we love him when we love others. If we can't love others who we physically see, then how can we expect to love Jesus, who we don't physically see? If we want to follow Jesus, it's vital to do what he says. And he says some pretty hard things to his disciples in Scripture. Following Jesus and everything is not easy. It's hard. It often means not doing what we want, when we want. It sometimes involves denying our fleshly desires. It means exercising self-control. It means sacrifice. There's a cost. Discipleship or spiritual formation or practicing spiritual disciplines, it's all hard work, but worthy work and worth it. And it's where joy and peace are found. Look at verse 16, truth. Loving Jesus with all our mind and our heart and our strength all the time is hard, but worthy worship. I love the passage that Scott read earlier in Deuteronomy, the Shema, and how we're to live in our ordinary and not so ordinary lives. I'm so thankful for what Jesus tells us here in verse 16. For the disciples, it was hard too. But having Jesus right there in front of them to physically ask questions, to see, to laugh with, to cry with, and just be a comforting presence was huge. They could hear God's voice. They could see his facial expressions. They could ask him the hard questions. They could take their doubts to him and get an audible response. That was huge. Jesus has been a counselor to his disciples. But he's leaving them shortly. And so he makes them a promise in this passage. He promises to talk to God the Father about giving them a new counselor so that they won't be left hanging for long. The Greek word here is parakletos, which can be translated comforter or counselor or helper or advocate or one who comes alongside. This is exactly what the disciples were going to need. God's Spirit to direct and to guide them. And he promises them on top of this, this grand assurance that he will be with them forever. Jesus is a human, can only be at one place at one time. He knows not having his physical presence with them will be hard for them, and so he gives them an amazing gift, the gift of another counselor that will be with them no matter where they go. It will be his abiding peace with them through his Spirit, reminding them of all that he said, all he's taught them, and that if they listen, he'll continue to speak, maybe not audibly, but powerfully and convincingly to their mind and their heart and their soul. In verse 17, Jesus gives this counselor a name or a title. He's the Spirit of Truth. There is power in a name. He is for disciples of Jesus only. His presence with them and will soon be in them at Pentecost. And boy, do we see how this counselor will help the disciples go from scaredy cats to bold lions within days. And the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit residing in Jesus' disciples is reserved for them alone. It's a mark of his presence with them. It's a guarantee of their salvation. It's a guarantee that they have been adopted into God's family and that they're no longer orphans. It's a guarantee of their future hope. And the blessing of the Spirit of Truth is not talked about as much in our tradition as he should be, yet in some ways, rightly so, because his role is not to be famous or well-known or make much of himself. His role is to make much of God the Father and of God's Son, Jesus. But look at verse 18. The disciples have to be experiencing all kinds of different emotions as Jesus is talking to them about his departure. He's been their whole life for these last 3 years, and he's leaving, and they will be alone. But Jesus assures them that they will not be alone despite his departure. He makes them another promise. He will not abandon them. He'll be with them. You know, I can't imagine what it would be like to be an orphan. no parent to care for you. My parents had friends in Huntington, West Virginia, who 5 days before I was born, on November 14th, 1970, became orphans as a result of the Marshall University football plane crash. My grandfather had good friends who were orphans because of World War I and the Depression, as he lived in Richmond, and he hung out with them in an orphanage where others cared for them. Orphans have concerns about how they will be provided with the basic necessities of life, clothes and food and shelter. Will someone be there when they need something? Someone so close that they carry the same name. That's why I'm so thankful for foster care opportunities, for adoption agencies, and ministries like Caris Global. Jesus promises to care for his loved ones, and that's me and that's you. What better witness for the world than for the church to lead the way in these caring ministries? Jesus didn't leave the disciples spiritually abandoned, and neither should we. And so let's not give up on the prodigals or the drifters and the spiritually apathetic, but let us keep on praying for them, always being ready to welcome them home. We see in verse 19 that Jesus predicts the events of his passion leading up to the cross and his crucifixion. He predicts that he will defeat death, that it won't hold him down. Death won't own Jesus. And the world will not be able to see him because of their unbelief, plain and simple. They fail to see and they recognize the real Jesus. But because of the cross and resurrection, Jesus will live, and this blessing will be passed on to those who believe. On the resurrection day, the disciples will realize these greater truths. And in verse 21, Jesus again repeats the same way, this love and obey language that he started off his conversation with his disciples, saying yes to being under God's protection and provision shows our love for him, and his love for us becomes evident. It's when we say no that we buy into the world's lies and we give in to disordered desires. And the fruit of disordered desires in our lives looks and smells rotten. But here's Judas in verse 22, who's asking Jesus a great question. Why not then, in light of all this, why not reveal himself to the world? Why not take the throne of his father David, rip off Roman oppression and persecution, and establish Jewish rule and freedom from their captors? I mean, after all, that's what the Messiah is supposed to do, right? But Jesus responds and repeats himself a third time with this love and obey language. God the Father and Jesus the Son will find their home in the one who lovingly obeys him. On the contrary, someone who doesn't love Jesus isn't going to follow him or do what he says. Jesus says these words are truth, coming directly from the mouth of God, the Father who sent him. Jesus didn't hold back from his disciples what would soon come, but lets them in on the inside scoop and tells them that it's all right if they don't remember everything that he is saying now. There'll be another opportunity to hear it right and with greater understanding into everything he's saying. The Holy Spirit will teach them and remind them of the truth that Jesus taught. Can you imagine what the disciples were thinking and feeling at this moment? The personification of love is leaving you. That would be scary. Scary enough to be anxious and to be frightened, to have an immediate mental health crisis. But it's in those situations what is needed most is peace. Peace. And so that's what Jesus promises them, his peace. Not just any old peace, we're told his peace. What more could they ask for? Troubled times call for peace. And peace says, despite all is well. The endowment that Jesus leaves them is his gift of peace. And isn't that, when we look around in this world and life and all relationships and deep inside of us, isn't that what everyone is looking for and pursuing, whether they know the real Jesus or not? Everyone is striving for what they think will bring them peace. And the world, it tries to offer peace, but it fails time and time again to deliver. What the world provides is temporary, often a distraction, a false security, a way to numb or forget what's going on, or sought out pleasures, or ways to move on with life, so to speak. But we can only run from God's design or his purpose and his plan for so long, or hide in so many places. Eventually, we must face the truth and his desires for us, his will for us, his purpose for us, which is, by the way, the peace that we're all searching and looking for all along. Sadly, it often takes a lot of my way decisions for us to get to the spot of surrender to God's will. We think our my or I decisions will give us the freedom and the peace that we're looking for, but instead, they leave us feeling even more empty, more confused, and more distraught when our ways don't work. But there's hope, there's forgiveness, there's a Redeemer. And what better way to face them than with the Spirit of truth inside us to guide us? We just have to have the ears to listen to him. And then with the help of the Holy Spirit to obey. The one who is in essence God. One with the Father and one with the Son. It is his peace that Jesus gives us. It's a peace that Jesus offers his disciples. It's very different from what the world offers. And Jesus was able to enjoy this peace while he was in the world because of his intimacy with the Father. Now he gives the same peace to us that he enjoyed. There was never a moment where Jesus was not mindful of his Father's will. And we have the opportunity to enjoy the same relationship. But we can't do it alone. That's why Jesus gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us. So let's look at the final verses in this passage, starting with verse 29. Predictions that come true, when somebody says something that's going to happen and it happens, are a powerful thing, especially of this magnitude, predicting your own death and resurrection. Jesus is giving them yet another reason to believe he is who he says he is, and that he will do what he says he will do. Jesus is a truth teller. All he says is for our good, and he wants to protect us from harm and all the world's lies, and he wants to provide for us all that is God's best. And so Jesus brings this conversation with his friends to a close by reminding them that Satan is the prince of this world, and that he's going to have his way with many in this world. And he may be the prince of this world, but he has no grip on Jesus and his mission from going forward as planned. He can't stop Jesus. He's powerless to do so. And he can't stop God's people from proclaiming the good news of the gospel. Jesus was always ready to obey his Father's will. And Jesus chose the path of obedience. He invites us to join him. And this road of following Jesus involves victory over temptations, being willing to abandon all temporary or temporal security or earthly hopes or desires. It's a refusal to live life based solely on what we want, what makes us feel good or to have things right now. And what do we get in return? Everything. Peace, joy, hope, confidence, abundant life now, true freedom, eternal life now, true freedom. Staying within the boundaries, staying between the lines, outside the lines and the boundaries is disappointment, destruction, and death, which we deserve. In Jesus, we get mercy, what we don't deserve. And now, true freedom and true peace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much that we can sing about this mercy here this morning. That we can sing about Jesus and praise him and be so thankful for the Spirit of Truth, this amazing gift that you have given us and promised us. We are powerless against Satan and everything the world throws at us. And we flounder and flop around in life when we try to do things our own way. Lord, help us to do things your way and to live in your purpose and your will. And may we find the joy and the peace. And then once we found it, go and tell others. Go share it with our ones and all the ones that God puts in our life. It's in your name we pray. Amen.